In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The wisdom of God is made manifest in so many ways. Most of them, in some sense, is hidden from us precisely because of our own blindness and our own willingness to see the working hand of God, not only in the world, but in our own lives. But in truth, as we come to celebrate this day, the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity, we do have set before us the fullness of the wisdom of God. After having spent time contemplating in great depth the mystery of our Lord's resurrection, his glorious ascension into heaven, and taking his right place at the hand of the Father, then he sends to us the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the fullness of what God has intended for us is now made manifest. And today we are drawn into the very heart of God himself. It might be argued that on one level, the first disposition that one needs to take before the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is one simply of contemplation. We might ask, what does this have to do with us, which is always the constant question that we put forth when it comes to the things of God. But in truth, this is God's way of showing us the fullness of the depth of his love for us. If it was not enough that he created us, redeemed us, and continues to vivify us through the gift of the Spirit, he reveals to us the very essence of himself, this perfect community of persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, undivided in majesty and glory, and yet each of them playing their particular role in the unfolding of salvation history and making manifest to all of us that perfect cooperation that is incumbent upon all of us who are in relationship first with him and then in relationship with one another. We don't call God Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, for to do so is to speak of God only in the things that he accomplishes. And this is not how God wishes to be known. Rather, he wants to be known as our Father, revealed himself as the Son, and continues to give to us the gift of their Spirit, that we might truly live as he has intended us to live. And maybe therein lies, then, the application to our own lived experiences, most especially the words of our Lord at the end of our Gospel from St. Matthew. The Great Commission is given to go and to baptize all nations. That commission has not been depleted. In truth, there is even more work to be done now. Not only are those who continue to disbelieve in God, even those who profess faith in God truly do not understand what they are professing or accept the revelation of God himself. There is work still to be done to fulfill the command that the Lord has bestowed upon us. But then the Lord gives us this promise at the conclusion of this passage from Matthew's Gospel, that he will be with us until the end of the age. What this engenders in us first is that disposition of faith. God has promised, God fulfills, we adhere and cling to that promise, trusting in him however it is he may choose to lead the world. It also should engender in us the virtue of hope. How easily we give in to despair because of the world in which we find ourselves, the church in which we find ourselves, especially now as we find ourselves assailed both from without and, more importantly, from within, from the very shepherds who should be protecting and guiding and safeguarding us. We find that we must protect ourselves. But there is no reason for fear or doubt or despair. Rather, what is required of us is to listen not to the voice of men who may have gone astray, but to the voice of God who continues to speak to us, most especially in the Blessed Sacrament and in the Holy Sacrifice. As we stand before this feast, but in truth the full panoply of the revelation of God, we have to ask ourselves very concretely, how convicted am I of what it is that has been revealed to me? Because it really does come down to something as simple as that. Either I accept what has been revealed and I live accordingly, or I find myself in the quagmire of the human condition, never fully moving forward, more often than not moving backwards, but certainly never in right relationship with God. Because the truth is this: if I do believe and I am convicted, then there is nothing or no one that can tear me apart from God. There is nothing or no one that can put any type of damper on my hope and my confidence in the power of God. These are easy things to preach, and I would like to tell you that they're also easy things to do. But as you have come to know me well, like you, I struggle, and at times given into anger and frustration. But then I come to the Holy Sacrifice. I come to this great feast, and I'm reminded what it is that is required of me. As Father, Son, and Spirit love completely and totally. No jealousy, no rancor, no fraction or division. So too I am called to love in the same way. Which means I have to bend over backwards, even to the point of death, for those who are after me. I must forgive 1,000 times and then 1,000 more times those who are after me, those who seek to destroy not me but Holy Mother Church. I must continue to preach and proclaim, even when there is no one there to listen and no one there to receive. And I must have hope in the promise of God. I will be with you always, even unto the consummation of the world. Our Lord and Savior never offered us pious platitudes. He only and always preaches and proclaims truth. And so what we hear in the gospel and the living God whom we are about to receive, we can have complete trust and confidence in him. And so this day I encourage you in prayer to spend some time contemplating this great mystery that has been given to us, in the love that is the heart of the economy of the Most Holy Trinity, and then pledge through Father, Son, and Spirit to love as they love us, as they love one another, and to find your trust, your hope, and your peace in the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.